can't sleep, trapped in my own mind. Anxiety. Drowning in the darkness, just can't see the light.
Depression.
Doubtful, insecure, can I really do this?
Imposter syndrome.
I'm alone, unloved, just feel invisible.
That's loneliness.
We're not therapists, but we need one.
Hello, and welcome to We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
The podcast where we have honest and vulnerable conversations about our mental health with one another.
I'm Jay.
And I'm Anthony, and neither of us are therapists.
But we're trying to help ourselves and each other by sharing our experiences and feelings.
In this show, we'll deep dive into topics like anxiety, depression,
self-esteem, trauma, and more.
We'll talk about how they affect us,
how we cope,
and what we've learned along the way.
We're not doing this to bash or blame anyone,
especially our families, who may have contributed to our mental health challenges.
We're doing this to heal and grow,
and hopefully inspire others who can relate and open your mind to your own healing.
We also want to warn you that this show may contain some sensitive and triggering content.
We'll be talking about personal and painful things that happen to us and how they still affect us to this day.
If you're not comfortable with that, or if you feel like you need professional help,
this show may not be for you. But
if you're ready to join us on this journey of self-discovery and self-improvement, we're glad to have you.
We're not experts, but we're honest and we're not alone.
Now, let's start the timer. Anthony, how do you feel today?
I'm fine. The last couple of days have been a little rough and busy. Last 2 days were not fantastic, but doing okay. Today was a lot better. My headspace is a lot better. And I finally got some, I replaced my vitamin B complex that I've been out of for like a month. And it turns out that, that fucking helps.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. So otherwise, no, just everything's kind of same old, had a busy weekend, had a rough last couple of days, but feeling a lot better today. And I'm glad to be feeling better. How are you, Che? You've had way more going on than I have.
I'm fine. I actually haven't talked about this yet, and I didn't bring it up on the podcast because it's a story that I don't want to talk about, but...
Well, this is a podcast.
This is therapy, and so I'm going to talk about it. Sunday, my boyfriend and I decided amicably that we're not going to continue dating. And it's tough because we don't hate each other at all. Leaving out all the personal reasons, it's just, it's good for both of us right now. It's very, God, I don't want to get into it. We're both not being fair to each other in a sense. And so, it's just better for us.
Yeah.
But man, I don't like it.
Yeah, I think there's a stigma around breakups that they're inherently negative, and that's not necessarily true.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it makes the most sense as adults to split ways, even if it's temporarily, even if it's permanently. Like, it doesn't really, like, it sucks because I personally really enjoy your boyfriend. I think he's wonderful.
I know.
And
I do
but
too.
I also get it.
It was funny because, like, it was hard to leave because I care for him so much, and I know he cares for me, and it wasn't easy. And I drove 6.5 hours home because he's in Houston. I drove 6.5 hours, raw dogged it with no music and no audiobooks because I could not take any more in my brain that was what was going on already.
Jesus.
And yeah, even like the next day, Monday, I was like, I don't really want to listen to anything. So I just kind of, short drive to work and back. So it was 5 minutes basically each way. But I just didn't want to listen to anything. And nothing sounded good. But I finally officially had, like, my solid cry last night about it. It would have been, like, the day after.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And it's not, I don't know how to explain it. I know this isn't a healthy thinking process, but I'm kind of, how do I explain this? I treat people the way I want to be treated. And so I am very caring, very, when I'm dating, I'm very caring. I'm very, I do what I would like done to me. And so when there's struggles that come along that they have to take care of, I guess, it kind of like, it makes me ask, like, why doesn't anyone fight to keep me? You know what I mean by that a little bit? Like,
I know what you mean.
If I feel people are good for me, like, I do what I necessary to take care of them. And by any of this discussion, because he may listen, he may not, I don't care. I am not ragging on him. I need to specify that none of this discussion is at all negatively talking about him.
From my perspective, okay. So just I wanted to
make sure that none of this is a negative.
But I also get that if it were like about me, I'm also one of those people who takes all kinds of like inferences from what people say. If it's about me, that I can leap to any conclusion.
Yeah, that's so, and I was just like, nothing that I'm saying is intended that, and I mean that wholeheartedly. It's just, I don't know, you know, it almost always feels like I'm the easy disposable person in a lot of situations. And I'm like, why? I don't dispose of people that easily, and so I don't know.
I don't think it's necessarily that you're easily disposable, but I think it is. And again, I can't speak for this specific situation, but you're easy to be honest with.
Yeah. I hope so. I used to not be, and I try very hard to be like, I need you to be honest with me because I don't want to dance around the what ifs.
You're good at being very open to things being said to you without getting defensive. And so that, I think, allows people to tell you more often what they're thinking.
Yeah.
Because there is a difference between being easily disposable and being easy to be honest with and be like, hey, this isn't working. So I double-edged sword because it means you're not volatile enough that people are walking on eggshells.
It's true. I guess I open the door for that.
Yeah, but I get what you're saying, and it does feel that way, and it sucks. I think there is something, and I haven't identified this in myself, but I get it because I've been that person who's been like, I don't understand, like, it especially in relationships, for like, why don't you want to just fight? In my past relationships, it's been entirely unwarranted. It's not been something where I have asked them to do that, or I have made my intentions known, or any of that. It's just, you know, it's that part of my thinking was unhealthy.
Yeah.
In that aspect. But it doesn't mean that that's what's going on with you. It's just, that is more to say I empathize with what you're saying.
I think the interesting part for me is where I just spaced out. What the hell was I going to say? I just lost my train of thought on this. Where was I? Keep going.
Unfortunately, this is unedited, so.
Yeah, you all listen to me lose my thought, and we can't fix it. You just suffer with it.
And lose our minds, but that's been happening for a long time now.
But I will say, after I kind of had that cry, selfish session where I was like, didn't anyone fight for me? I genuinely felt a lot better, because I because really it was kind of just, I think it was just releasing the pent up, I don't know, hurt. But so I've also never been in a relationship that alarming that I was in one for nearly 8 years that I was at the maturity level I am where I actually felt the deep love of it.
Yeah.
And felt, this could really be the one that I could spend all my time with. And I'm comfortable with them. I can be me. I can do that. So I've never experienced that before until this one. And so it's hard to know that I'm going to have to redo all that eventually with someone new. And I dread that so much because it's so hard to let me go. It's hard to let me open up to new people to put that kind of trust in. Because it's always, you know, I grew up with that being thrown back at me. You can't be emotional. You're judged for if you're not the same. Like, if you're being weird, if you love something that country people don't love, if you, you know, I was always judged, made fun of for stuff. I was always chasing after love because I had very emotional, immature family that wasn't real loving. And so I was constantly chasing that. And so it's just trying to figure myself out and then finally gain the faith to be, let me be me with someone and then not getting to keep doing that with the same person. Ugh, it's just so exhausting. I don't want to do it again.
Well, I feel like if this were a standard friend conversation, this would be in the part in the romantic comedy where I'd start consoling you and telling you about how there are so many fish in the sea and don't worry, you'll find the one and he wasn't right for you and blah, blah, blah. But the truth is that sometimes great love does come and it does go and it doesn't diminish the love that exists. I mean, there are people that I have dated that I've not dated that I still love so just horribly deeply, and it's never going to change. There's nothing I can do about it because that feeling is embedded for them. And it's just, that's how it is. But I know in my heart of hearts as well that it just isn't or wasn't what was right for the time, and it just wasn't.
Yeah.
And I have to accept that. It just means sometimes it's for the time, you know?
Yeah.
I think it's a little like how you think like the, you know, recovering addicts who say like one day at a time. It's a little like that in its own capacity because you just have to accept that while certain things may happen in the future, they just don't happen today. And that's okay.
Yeah. And I think what's overwhelming is, literally, I know I've triggered a lot of this change, but literally everything in my life now is just changing kind of at the same time.
Yeah.
And I am treating it, which made me feel better, as kind of the end of the second book of what so far is a trilogy. Because all of this change feels so big that it does not feel like a chapter. It feels like I'm closing this book up. And I'm starting a new one because I had my first book up until my early 20s where I was this chaotic, just mess of a person. And then I got this career where I immediately had to settle into this new life that I created. And so then I kind of had my quick development 20s age. And then I hit my cancer and I really opened up and blossomed more into a completely different person. And it was kind of this nice transition story almost that took a long time to get to the transition. And now like everything's fucking changing. And so I'm just like, it's overwhelming. I'm excited for all the change. Most of it, not obviously not this specific one, but it's a lot. I know I brought it on myself, but it's a lot for someone who has lived their life in so much comfort for so long.
And that's true. But I mean, you know, that's change is something that we're all afraid of. I mean, it's tough. It's a hard bridge to cross. And the older you get, it gets even harder.
Yeah. And change is inevitable. I talk about it all the time. I'm like, we have to adapt. And I think that's why I triggered myself to be like, you have to do all this. This, you have felt stuck in a rut and you've got to make the changes yourself. And so I had to break through that wall of fear that I created.
Mm-hmm.
And now I've broken through and, oh my God, I'm kind of accepting that so much is happening, and which is kind of what triggered me to bring up the conversation with my now ex to really kind of be like, hey, we need to discuss this, and I need you to understand that if this is what we need to do, I'm not going to be problematic with it. And so I think all of this just made me go, you need to stop holding on to things that may not be good for the time being. Which, this is one person, which maybe my thoughts change later, but down the road, it's not one of those situations I'd be like, ew, no, hopefully not. But right now, it's definitely just not a good time.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you both have a lot going on.
Yes.
And we both adding the layer of long distance relationship to that can be taxing, and it can make it even worse.
And we did have a lot of, from both perspectives, of very complex lives. And so I think the distance just kind of amplified it more. And it was just like, listen, we can't. And well, that's why I understood it.
I think the other, you know, not to do the look on the bright side type thing. Because
I appreciate
sometimes
it.
Sometimes you should just feel your pain, and that's what you should do.
That was yesterday.
We filmed the entire Beards and Sundries without that happening.
Yeah, but recorded Beards and Sundries way earlier than usual.
That's true.
Now we would normally be recording it.
But going back to that, I just feel like there is something to be said. You each have your own things going on that are these huge changes for both of you. It's, you know, new job for, technically you have a new job. I mean, I know it's not new, but it's still new to you. I mean, if you're under 2 years, I consider the job new.
Yeah.
And then you both have new jobs, you know, you're both in new places, even if it is the same city area for you. Again, you're still moving.
Yeah.
And a lot of times trying to maintain a long distance relationship in those types of tumultuous times of our lives, you know, it can make you resent the other person. Because you're trying to maintain this extra thing while you're just trying to keep your own head above water. And it may not be anybody's fault, but you can get resentful of other people in those situations. And so, I mean, I could see how this would be a wise decision ultimately, at least for the time being.
I mentioned, and he kept clarifying that this isn't the case. I said, I feel like I am a burden to you with how busy life is right now for you personally and professionally and all. And he's like, it's not you that's the burden. And I know that's the case, but I also am just like, but it is me that has the expectation that I'm going to do what is regardless to make sure that things work. And so I am pressuring the situation to continue working out when maybe that's not what you want because you're so overwhelmed. And so I just can't help but think that regardless, I was going to be a burden. And so, yeah.
I could see where you're coming from with it. But I also think that if you... It's okay. We have the recording timer. We can make it. Don't worry.
Oh, no. My phone... So basically, my phone gave me a national... I'm in the severe thunderstorm warning, and then it just messed up, like, my AirPods and everything.
So everything broke?
And it disconnected from the Mac and went to my phone, and everything just messed up. And I'm like, fucking...
I mean, we're 15 episodes in. We were bound to have technical difficulties sometime.
I'll just play it anyways.
A non-edited episode, but
this episode may go like 15, 20 seconds long because I'll just hit play and continue.
It is what it is.
Yeah, fuck it.
But there are times like that, you know, I get what you're saying. So in the same way, I want to give people an out of having to necessarily feel like I'm being bothersome to them or burdensome to them.
And I was scared of that resentment. Yeah.
But I think there is also something to be said for letting people tell you that themselves instead of you necessarily trying to give them an out.
Yeah.
And so, you know, sometimes that is what it is, and it, you know, there's just no changing it. But I see what you're saying because you and I have very similar thoughts and feelings when it comes to our relationships. And I get like that with people. I get to where I feel like I'm being burdensome to them. And I don't want to be, and I constantly give people outs for hanging out with me. I constantly give people outs for things, and it's not necessarily that I don't want to. Sometimes there's a lot of times that I don't want to because I'm just a homebody at this point. But
I mean, I do all the time. I give people, I'm like, by the way, like, you're not required to do this. You're not required to hang out. You're not required to respond because I don't want to feel like the burden. I to be fair, I grew up always feeling like a burden.
And I was going to say, I think this is you still telling yourself in a way that you're a burden to people.
Yeah, God.
That's why I'm not a therapist, because I just told you instead of making you arrive at that yourself.
Shit, I should probably write this down for my actual next real therapy session next week.
You should bring that up to your therapist.
Huh.
Yeah.
Because I genuinely... Well, and we've kind of had the discussion before because I talked about being in stores and how I move out of the way for people. Like, I'm always like, oh, I'm sorry. And I like suck in everything. And she's like, you aren't taking into consideration that you're also a human and you occupy space.
Mm-hmm.
And
she's
like,
you're allowed to take up space.
You're not a burden to take up space. And I always feel like a burden. I try hard not to make my friends feel like I'm a burden. So I try not to over text. I try not to over plan things. I try not to do all this because I know what it's like when people feel like a burden to me, and I just don't want to ever be that burden. And so I don't really know how to balance that.
Well, I mean, it's a learning process or an unlearning process, as it were, because this is coming from deep-seated childhood trauma that you have to sort of untangle in a way. And it's difficult to do. You know, you just can't, it just doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. It takes practice. It takes a lot of self-talk. And even then, it won't be perfect. No matter how much unlearning you do, no matter how much self-talk changing you do, like, it's still going to creep back up on you because your body's been programmed that way since you were a kid. And it's not your fault, but and that sucks, but it is something that you do have to sort of, like, start dealing with. And it gets better. It gets better. It gets easier.
I think what's super annoying is when I started focusing on my mental health in 2022, being like, hey, you've got to take care of you. I did a shitload of work on myself and I felt so good because it felt like I'd opened up so much and I'd changed and everything felt much more comfortable. And then as I've been progressing, especially while dating, I've discovered so much more about myself that is deep-seated mental trauma. And it just keeps piling on. Like, So it almost feels like I went backwards, even though I know I'm confident that's not the case, because I've progressed a lot from who I felt I was. And I like that I've done that. I like that I've done this work, and I like that I'm discovering all this stuff. But it's so much work.
Well, that's, I did that intensive outpatient therapy at Laureate here, and part of our class, one of our counselors, because we were talking about this, about how you kind of do this like upward momentum and things are going well and it feels so good because you're getting yourself out of this rut that you've been in. But then you end up back down in a rut from time to time. But it was a really good moment because the counselor brought up the fact that if you do take the things you learn from therapy, if you do take the things you've learned digging yourself out of that rut, there will be times that are not as good as others, obviously, like that just happens, but your lows will always be higher than your former lows if you just keep working at it. And so those lows, while they may still suck comparatively, they just aren't the same as the lows you experienced previously.
Which I can relate to that, because after my previous ex and I broke up in late 21, I didn't even, this is very unfortunate, but by the time we reached that point, I didn't even like the guy.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't like who I was. I didn't like who he was. And I just, like, looking back further, I'm like, fuck, what a waste of time. I'm so embarrassed of myself for that. But after that breakup, I still felt a lot of pain. And it was grieving almost how much time I wasted. And I mean, but it was also grieving, like, all these weird things. Nothing about him specifically, just the fact that I don't have anybody that I can call. I don't know. You just, you don't have that person anymore that you love. And back then, it hurt a lot more. This time it still hurts, but I at least have a substantial mental understanding better about myself and about the situation and about life. And while it hurts, it doesn't hurt as bad. You know, it doesn't feel as detrimental.
Yeah.
But
yeah. But it still fucking sucks.
Oh, it sucks. It sucks a lot.
But you're allowed to feel your emotions. I mean, you're allowed
and
to be
that
sad.
Also made me feel better thinking about it. And at least I have a reason to be sad.
Well, and I mean, you know, even if you don't have a reason to be sad, I mean, there's sometimes you're just fucking sad. Your emotions happen whether you want them to or not. They're not like under your control directly.
I was meaning more, at least I had a good reason to be sad for the breakup rather than like, really,
you had a good reason last time, too. Don't
well, with,
worry.
Really, with my previous ex, I was more sad than I'm, like, losing the perks of first-class Delta flights
well,
and stuff like that.
I get it. But like, there is also something to be said for having a person that you can rely on in a different capacity than other people.
Yeah. It was more, the previous stuff was grieving what my life was changing into because I didn't have two salaries in my house anymore. This one's grieving, like, I don't have that person that I can be like, this person loves me. I love them. They can know everything about me. I can tell them anything and feel good about it. Even though I have friends that are really that way too, but still, it's different.
It is different. And I get it, because it's always going to be different that way because it's just, yeah, I don't know. I understand what you're saying.
I'm going to now have to introduce somebody to the fact that I sleep with a CPAP again. That I'm an old fucking man. I have one testicle.
Listen, that's just your flavor. That's your seasoning.
I mean, my thing is if somebody can't deal with that, then thank God I'm not with them. But
that is
real
true. I think
I just now have to filter through that life again, but I'm definitely no rush.
I guess the going to the thing I said I wouldn't do, the good news is You're a lot more self-aware now, and so
but there's more fish in the sea.
No, I don't care about the fish. There's a lot of fish out there, but a lot of them are awful.
There's a lot of terrible fish out there.
But I think, you know, that type of self-awareness and that type of knowledge of yourself that you've been developing over the past few years, it's only going to serve to help you to find yourself in better situations in the future.
So thankful for that growth. I think through all of this, it helped me so much.
Yeah, because that's, I mean, I don't know. I feel like you mental health journeys are, I find myself spiraling still from time to time, but it does make it easier to get through the really low lows because even though they're still hard as hell, I can at least tell myself that my feelings and my emotions don't define who I am as a person.
Right.
Yeah. And that's, you know, I know there's another side to it. So even whenever it feels like there isn't, there's a part of me that knows that I can come out the other side of things that are hard. Because I've done it so many fucking times to this point.
Yeah. Yeah. I couldn't be more thankful for the growth over the time. So it does work. It does pay off. I am glad that I did get a therapist. And it's not even because I feel like she's doing this world of change. It's just, at least now, I haven't been in it very long with her. But I don't know. She's even in the short amount of time, has brought up some really good, just small advice that has flourished into a little bit bigger advice as I've thought about it.
Yeah. And I mean, that just, some of the work just takes, all the work just takes time, so.
I know. I'm waiting for the day that she's like, you really need that, whatever it's called, where you have to do the, whatever you're doing.
Oh, the EMDR therapy?
Yes, that thing.
Yeah, that was, I've been having some traumatic moments since then, but.
I'm scared of that one.
Memories.
Yeah, I'm scared of that one because I'm almost scared of what memories I don't remember.
It's funny because I've actively remembered some of these memories, but now it's kind of flooding back in this vivid color that I've never had it before. And so there's the timer.
Until next time.
Until next time. We'll talk about that more next time. And hey, maybe I'll have had a therapy session. There we go. Man, I'm sorry, Jay.
No, it's... And we're out of time.
Thank you for joining us today on our show. As you can see, therapy is not always easy, but it can be very rewarding and healing.
If you want to follow our journey and see how we progress, tune in next episode for the continuation of We're Not Therapists, But We Need One.
Join us on our socials, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, and Instagram, and email us at nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
That's nopenottherapists@gmail.com.
We would love to hear your thoughts on our journey or any questions you have that we can help answer. Until then,
stay safe.
Mental health is a serious and important issue that affects millions of people around the world.
If you or someone you know is struggling with depression, anxiety, trauma, or have any other mental health conditions, you're not alone and there is help available.
You don't have to suffer in silence or feel ashamed of your feelings.
There are many resources and support networks that can help you cope and heal.
Here are just a few.
The Crisis Text Line, which is a 24/7 service that connects you to trained crisis counselors who can help you with any type of emotional crisis. You can text HOME to 741-741 in the US or Canada, or 85258 in the UK, or 50808 in Ireland. You can also visit crisistextline.org for more information.
The National Suicide Prevention Lifeline, which is a 24/7 service that provides free and confidential support for people in distress, as well as prevention and crisis resources. You can call them at 1-800-273-8255 or chat online at suicidepreventionlifeline.org.
The Headspace app, which is a meditation and mindfulness app that can help you reduce stress, improve your mood, and enhance your well-being. The app offers guided meditations, breathing exercises, sleep sounds, and other tools that can help you relax and cope with your emotions. You can download the app for free and try it for 10 days or subscribe for unlimited access to all features. You can find the app on the App Store or Google Play, or visit headspace.com for more information.
These are just some of the resources that we have found helpful, but there are many more out there that can suit your needs or preferences. The most important thing is to reach out for help when you need it, and to know that you are not alone. Mental health is not a weakness, but a strength, and taking care of it is one of the best things you can do for yourself and your loved ones. Until next time,